Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying over the church. And this is something that the Lord wants to do in our lives. This is what this whole series has been about. This series has been about, we've been looking at the promises of the Lord to give us hope, to give us joy, to give us peace, to fill our hearts with His love. This is what the Lord's been doing. I believe that the Lord, His present to us this Christmas is His presence. We come and we give gifts to the Lord like I was just mentioning, but the Lord wants to give us a gift because He's a giver. In fact, that's what Christmas is all about. For God so loved the world that He gave. Jesus is the gift, isn't He? Amen? He's the gift of God, the bright and morning star, the Son of God who came down and He was born a baby, born of a virgin, and yet grew up, gave His life on the cross, rose again, and now He's born again. He's the first human being to conquer death, rise from the dead, and be born again. And this was the gift of God to us, Jesus Himself. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be full of His Holy Spirit, full of Him. Jesus wants to fill us up and do exactly what this prayer is. And I believe in this Christmas season, His presence to you is His presence. He wants His presence to come and bring refreshing to you, healing to you. He wants His presence to be His gift to you. As it says right here, let me read it again. Now may the God of hope fill you. Fill you with all joy, with all peace in believing, that you may abound, you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord wants. He wants to fill you with His hope, His love, His joy, His peace. This is why we've lit these candles, what we'd call Advent candles. And actually, in fact, these candles represent, the first candle represents hope. And we lit it the first week. The second candle represents love. The third candle represents the joy of the Lord. And this fourth candle represents peace. That's what I want to talk to you about just for a few minutes this morning, that the Lord wants to fill you with His peace. His peace. And then by the end of this service, we'll light this middle candle, which is the Christ candle. Represents Jesus, the light of the world, who is the gift of God, who is the embodiment of hope. He is the desire of nations, the God of hope. He is the Prince of Peace. It's who He is. He is a God of gladness and joy who delights in us, who created us for that very purpose, to be His daily delight. He is the God of love who came, who gave Himself, who created us, died for us, has given us eternal life because of His love. He is all those things for us. And what He has done is come and given us these very things that we need. This is not just about candles. This is not just about some nice Christianese words like hope and joy. These aren't Christmas words only, right? They're not just Christianese. We're not being religious here. This is where we live, is it not? This is where we live. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life I've gotten weary and I've lost hope. I've lost sight of a vision for my life. Or I've struggled to believe things could be better than they are right now. I've struggled with this. Anybody else? Or struggled with anxiety, insecurity, fear, struggled to be at peace. Isn't this where we live? Where there's not always peace in our homes? There's not always the presence of peace or wholeness in our emotions? Can be good on the outside, but sometimes on the inside, your mind is racing with anxiety, your emotions. are racing with anxiety. This is where we live, is it not? Craving, hungering, longing to be loved. Sometimes doing foolish things or harmful things, sometimes even sinful things, just because we want to be loved. Isn't this where we live? Sometimes struggling with despair or depression. Sometimes nobody else knows. We put a smile on, but we're struggling on the inside to really enjoy life, to really enjoy the people around us or the blessings around us. You know, sometimes we can be so blessed, and yet if you don't have the peace of God, the joy of God, you won't even enjoy it. Sometimes it's ungratefulness that causes us to completely miss the blessing of God. But sometimes it's just that here's God trying to bless us and love us, and yet we're not feeling it. This is where we live, is it not? This is where we live. And this is where Jesus comes in. Listen to this. In John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Isn't this where we live? On earth, a broken world, sometimes broken in ourselves. And what did God do? "And the Word became flesh." And the Word became flesh. Flesh, skin, bone, dwelt in a human body. God became a man. The Word, the source of all life, the meaning and the purpose of all life, He became flesh. And it says, "And He dwelt among us." Why? Because God is not trying to get you or make you or expect you to get to where He is. To make you through good works and your own striving and your own trying to prove it to God and give to God everything that you are so that you can make it to heaven. You can climb up to the heavens. You can earn your way to heaven. You can somehow be perfect so that God will like you. You can't do it. I can't do it. We're broken. We're weak. And yet the Lord says this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He came and He moved into the neighborhood. He came and made His home among human beings. And He comes and lives where you are. Right where you are. Because He knew we're not going to get to where He's at without Him coming and being where we're at. You flowing with me? See, this is why I love Christmas. Whether December 25th is the day He was actually born, it's still a holy night to me. Because whatever night He was born on, whether it's the 25th or not, it's a holy night. And it's not just the fact that it's a nice story. This really happened in history. And then He really died and He really rose again. But what this does, when we remember at Christmas, He came, we are connecting our hearts to the reality of this, the story of God that we're a part of because we put our faith in Him and we walk with Him in a relationship. We remember what He has done, why He has come, and that because Jesus has come, hope has come. Because Jesus has come, love has come. Because Jesus has come, peace has come. Joy has come. When He came, He brought His kingdom, His righteousness, His life, His healing, His redemption. And you and I, when we put our faith in Him, we can receive that from Him. Somebody give me an amen. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth. And it says here about Jesus. I was reminded of this when He rose again. Somebody's saying, "Hey, that's a wrong holiday." But listen, when He rose again, listen to what He said to His disciples. He rose again. He shows up in the room, in the upper room. This is actually the first resurrection. This is the resurrection day, first Easter, all right? So I'm messing up our holidays. But here we go. He says this to them. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them, the disciples, peace to you. Peace. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's not just that he came and lived on earth for 33 years in a human body. The reason why he went to the cross and then conquered death is so that he could live in you now, today. So when the Bible says he came and he dwelt among us, that word dwelt means he came and he made his home here. And it's exactly what he did by giving you his Holy Spirit. He actually says earlier in another verse, he says this. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and we'll make our home with him. You're not alone. He is Emmanuel today. He has come to dwell among us today. This is the longing of his heart to be with us, because he knows the longing of our heart. He knows that we're a people who are weary and needing hope, broken and needing love, needing his joy and his peace. And this is why the Lord is saying, this is my present to you. I want to come and dwell with you. I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit. I want to refresh you with my presence. And I want you to experience all the hope and all the joy and all the peace and all the love that I have for you. That's what the Lord wants to do. This is the gift that money cannot buy. That this culture, this consumeristic culture, it lies to us about this. It tells us, get that credit card and you'll be happy. Live the life you've always wanted. And they lie to us. This consumeristic culture, it is empty. There's no substance. And yet, human beings were chasing after this. But I believe that's why Jesus is called the desire of nations. Because everybody's longing for him, even if they don't know it's him that they're longing for. He's called the desire of nations because every human part is longing to be connected to their creator. Longing for him. But we don't know it's him. We know it's him, don't we? We know that it's not joy that we need, it's Jesus. And if we find Jesus, we find joy. Amen? That it's not peace that we need, it's Jesus that we need. And when we find Jesus, we find the Prince of Peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. It's who he is. And he says this in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. See, when he breathed on those disciples, what was happening was his final breath on the cross became our first breath as born-again believers. He breathed his last and said, Father, it is finished. Then he rose from the dead and he stands before his disciples and he breathes on them. And don't worry, his breath was minty fresh, right? He breathes on them and the Holy Spirit came into these first disciples. Just like when you put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. The very life of God, the breath of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God himself dwelling on the inside of you, bringing to you this very thing it says here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Not as the world gives. Not with debt. Not with finance. Not with strings attached. Not with, I'm going to give it to you and then I'm going to think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. They're not worthy of it. And take it back. Not with conditions. But not as the world gives, but as I give. I give you. What? How does he give? He gives it to you before you deserve it. Before you figure it out. He gives you peace. So listen, peace is a gift. Peace is a gift that you can receive from the Lord. Right there in the midst of maybe some stress you're going through. Maybe some anxiety. Maybe some thoughts that you're wrestling with. And yet the Lord is saying, but I want to give you peace that's a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to like feel it first. Let me give it to you. Not as the world gives. I'm going to give it to you as a gift based in unconditional love. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And he says later this, in chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so he kind of lets us know, hey, this world is still broken. There's stuff going on around you, but on the inside of you, you can have victory. I have overcome the world. And if you'll put your trust in me, if you'll abide in me, I'll fill you with peace. And all around you could be a storm, but inside of you, there can be peace. Just like when Jesus was in that boat with the disciples and there's a storm raging and they're freaking out and he's sleeping. Because on the inside of him, there was peace. There could be a storm all around you, but Jesus is in the boat with you. Be a storm all around you because he has made his home in you. You can be at rest, confident that the Lord is with you and he's going to carry you through that storm to the end. This is our Prince of Peace. You know, this is all throughout the story of Christmas. Listen to these prophecies about Jesus. This is spoken about Jesus before he was born. In Luke chapter 1, verse 77, it starts, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. There's a prophecy being spoken by John the Baptist's father, and he's proclaiming that this Jesus is going to bring forgiveness of sin and salvation because of God's mercy to us. And he says, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Day spring, referring to Jesus being the light, the morning star, dawn rising out of darkness. And he goes on to say, verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus, the light of the world. And part of the light that he brings is that he brings peace in the midst of anxiety. He brings calm in the storm. He brings rest in the midst of fear. On the day that he was born, the angels appeared to the shepherds. And this is what they said. Chapter 2, verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. That means people, every person on earth. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. So this angel declares, oh, I have great news. Full of great joy. And it's for every person. People of every language and culture and tribe and ethnicity and color. I've got this message for what we call the gospel. That this Jesus, this baby born to you, this is going to be the Messiah, the Christ, the King, the Healer, the Savior. This is the good news. And all of a sudden, I mean, these angels see one angel, you'd be freaking out, right? We think, oh, it's so cool. No, I think you'd be freaking out, right? These huge angels, bright, shining, full of glory, got swords on and wings and everything. I don't know about you, I'd be freaking out. And that was just one angel. And then all of a sudden, there was like thousands of these angels, and they all start singing in this beautiful choir type thing right there on the hillside of Judea in Israel. And they're singing this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it's a proclamation that because Jesus has come, peace has come. That he didn't come to harm, but to do good to us. That the message of the gospel is a message of great joy. This is what the Lord brings when he comes. This is exactly what we need, is it not? We need peace. I've struggled for many of my many years when I was younger with insecurity, anxiety. Man, we worry about everything, don't we? I've known people that are like professional worriers. You get what I'm saying? They're like, you know what I'm saying? They're like, Like if it was a national sport, they'd be in. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We can worry about everything, huh? Shoot. I mean, we worry about money, right? Bills. We worry about our responsibilities. We worry about our kids. We worry about the ones we love. We worry about our husband or our wife. Or we worry about our spouse. We worry about what other people think about us. We worry about what might happen, what did happen, how we messed it up. You get what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of awkward. So, like, I'm used to, like, saying something awkward or doing something awkward and then later, like, thinking about it for, like, 10 days, you know? Sometimes, like, 10 years. Like, man, why did I say that? Why did I do that, you know? Like, carry this anxiety, this worry about what people think of me or something like that. You know, we worry about being safe in our homes or driving or car accidents or whatever. We worry, don't we? We worry about our jobs sometimes. Sometimes we worry about our world and the news doesn't help. Sometimes things are better than the news makes it seem, doesn't it? Right? There's actually a lot of good going on in the world, but you wouldn't know if all you did is watch the news. They just like to fill us up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not CNN. It's like anxiety NN or something, you know? They're trying to fill us up with this worry and this fear. Some people, they worry about worrying. You know what I'm talking about? They worry about worrying. Am I worrying too much? Man, I worry too much. Man, I'm. You know what I'm saying? They worry about worrying. Listen to this guy, Ralph. His name was Ralph. And he was really going through it. He was really going through it. And he had some trouble. He had some things that he needed, that he was struggling with, some trouble that he was in. And he wasn't really doing anything about it. You know, sometimes you get anxious, you get shut down, don't you? And his friend comes over and he's trying to get Ralph to, come on, man, get going. And he says to Ralph, Ralph, you've got two hands. Do something. Use your two hands and do something, you know? Don't be passive about your anxiety and your worries. And this is what Ralph said. I am doing something with my hands. I'm wringing both of them. Sometimes that's what we do, huh? Anxiety can paralyze us. Fear can paralyze us. Listen to this lady. She was constantly worrying all the time and talk about it, right? Worry about this, worry about that. And, oh, I'm not sure about this. I'm worrying about this. What about the kids? What about my work? Da-da-da. What if this happens? What about that? What about this? She's always worrying. And her husband just finally got tired of it. You know what I'm saying? And he said, why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good? That's what his wife said. I mean, that's what her husband said to her. It's good advice, right? Why are you worrying? It doesn't do any good. And she said, no, see, that's where you're wrong. And the wife said, oh, it does good. 90% of the things I worry about never happen. See, I worry about it, and then 90% of it never happens. See, but isn't that the truth? Almost everything we're worried about, it never even happens. Right? We're either worried about what's going to happen, and then most of it never happens, or we're worried about what other people think about us, and it can eat us up, can it? It can eat us up. I remember when I first, when my wife and I were married about a year, we bought a home, and this was, I was young, and everything was new to me. It's not like I didn't struggle a little bit with anxiety when I was in high school, but I remember my parents telling me when I was in high school, like kind of almost like mocking, like, you're worried? Man, it's nothing. You're like in high school. Hey, that's not cool. In high school, you got stuff to worry about, right? People, what people think about you, or, you know, the grades and such. We worry. But it's another level when you get out into the world, and now it's on you. And I've got a wife I got to provide for, and I've got this house that we just bought, and I was feeling it. I was a new youth pastor, so I was feeling that anxiety, that fear of failure. And I remember just sitting in my living room and feeling this weight, a kind of a pressure, a weight of responsibility on me at another level. And here I had learned to walk in the peace of God, and yet, man, this peace is getting challenged here. Internally, I was in a battle. I was struggling. But I'm with the Lord, and I'm sitting there with the Lord, and times of refreshing came to me, just like we've been talking about. And here I'm with the Lord, and the Prince of Peace came, and he began to speak to me. He began to speak to me from Psalm 23. In that season, Psalm 23 was everything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And it wasn't just the psalm. It was the presence of the Lord that came into that room. And the Lord began to minister to my heart. I've got you. I've got you. You know that sheep don't lay down unless they're fed. And they feel absolutely secure. There are no enemies. There's no harm around. They don't sense any danger. And they're fed. They don't lay down. And so when David, who was a shepherd, is singing this song to God, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's saying, he leads me to the right place, and he provides for me everything that I need. I'm not going to lack anything. He's going to take care of all my needs. And he leads me beside still waters. Give me that drink from good, clean, healthy water. And he goes on to say, he restores my soul. But then David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, David was going through it. When he sang that song, he was being chased by King Saul. Sometimes people think that David's singing that psalm, Psalm 23, like he's just a kid with no worries watching the sheep. Well, shoot, even when he was a kid, he had responsibilities, and lions and bears tried to take his dad's sheep, and he had to go and attack those sheep. See, so even as a young man, he had responsibilities. But now he's an older man. He's in his 20s, being chased by Saul. The promise of God is being challenged in his life. He's lost provision. He doesn't have a roof over his head. He's hiding out in caves. He's struggling. And in defiance of that fear, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Isn't that what we're afraid of? That something bad's going to happen. Whether it be somebody saying something about us or to us, we lose something, somebody hurts us, something bad happens. You get what David's saying? Man, you can try to kill me, but surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He's saying, he doesn't use Saul's name because he never dishonored Saul, but he's saying, my enemies are trying to kill me. But I will not fear evil. The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He said, I'm comforted because God is my shepherd. He is my leader. And just like David would lead his sheep as a good shepherd and fight off any of the animals and get them into a safe environment where they could eat food and feel safe. And he knew as a shepherd what it felt like when his sheep were calm and at rest. He's saying to his own soul, he's saying, soul, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to worry. No harm shall befall you. God's got this. See, when you put your trust in the Lord can bring you into a place of rest, bring you into a place of peace, and you can be calm right there in green pastures. And you got that test you got to pass, or you've got that assignment at work. It's not that peace makes us lazy. No, you're going to go at it, but that the Lord is with you. See, a lot of times fear, I've heard fear called false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Sometimes in the darkness, things have shadows and you can get afraid. And things get bigger than what they really are. The enemy tries to mess with your mind. He tries to make you think that that thing, that possibility in the future, it's going to get you. It's going to take you out. But you know, you flip on the light, all those shadows go away, right? When the peace of God comes into your heart, those things that look big, you realize, oh, this is small. It's nothing but a thing. It's nothing but a thing. And you realize, what am I worried about? See, sometimes that's what I tell myself. What are you worried about? It's nothing but a thing. I got nothing to worry about. God's got me. Sometimes that's what the Lord tells me. He says, I got this. I got this. I remember one time I was driving on a road trip in California and driving a rental car, and this rock came and boom, hit the windshield of the car. Broke the windshield and actually began to like split while I'm driving. You know what I mean? It was that bad that it was cracking while I'm driving. Well, I've got 3 or 4 hours to drive. I've got 3 or 4 hours and I see this crack and instantly I think, oh no. Oh no, I gotta pay for this. I mean, I didn't have like an abundance of cash or anything like that. I'm thinking, oh no. So I'm watching this crack as it gets bigger, and I'm on this road trip, which is supposed to be a vacation, and you know what I'm thinking? Oh man, I gotta pay for this. How am I gonna pay for this? How am I gonna pay? And here's what I'm doing. I'm meditating on what could happen. See, some people, they'll say this, I think too much. No, no, your problem is not that you think too much. The problem is that you're meditating on the wrong thing. And now I'm fixated on this crack, and I'm fixated on the money, and I'm fixated on, and I'm worried, and I don't know what they're going to say, and I don't know if I'm going to have to pay for it. I don't know about insurance. I don't know how this whole thing works and everything. I never had rented a car before. I was a young man. I was newly married. And, oh, man. And so I'm worrying the whole time I'm driving, whole time. And the Lord told me, I'm driving. And he says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Now listen, I had a choice right there. I could believe that the Lord would take care of it, that even if I had to pay for that crack, the Lord would provide. I'm looking at a problem right there in front of me, and I'm saying, I can choose to believe that God just spoke to me right now, and I could receive the gift of peace. I could be at rest knowing, yeah, I got a problem, but the Lord's going to take care of it. Or I could spend the next 3 hours in turmoil. And I chose to trust the Lord. The Lord spoke to me and I said, Lord, that's a good point. You got this. And I'm not going to worry about it. And you know what? I didn't even have to pay for it. Whatever insurance that covered the rental car and all that, it was covered. I didn't have to pay for it. Everything was taken care of. But see, I didn't know that back then. I didn't know that. And I had a choice. Am I going to walk in worry or am I going to walk in peace? And you have the same choice that I did every single day. Kids are going to come in here, so don't worry about it. They're just going to come in. They're going to sit with you. We're going to have a few minutes. We're going to light candles. It's going to be a great time. But let me just finish up my message. You, and kids, you can listen to this too. This is for you too. Every day you have a choice. Am I going to walk in worry or am I going to walk in peace? Just like me driving on that road, I could have driven on that road in worry, and guess what would have happened? The Lord would have taken care of it, and I would have spent 3 hours worrying for nothing. Right? Or I could be at rest and let the Lord take care of it, and you have the same choice. You have the same choice today. You have the same choice tomorrow. Am I going to worry about it? And then the Lord's going to take care of it. And you realize, man, my worrying did nothing. I worried about nothing. My worrying produced nothing. Or you can do what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, where it says this. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast it onto the Lord. What does that mean? Does it mean that you don't think about what needs to get done? No, you still think about it. Hey, I got to get it done. What it means is that you take that problem, that real problem, and you bring it to the Lord and you say, Lord, it's too much for me. You say, Lord, I need your help on this thing. And you cast it onto the Lord. You know what that means? That means you're carrying a burden that's too heavy for you. You're carrying something that's weighing you down. And the Lord's saying, hey, let me carry that for you. Let me carry that for you. You don't need to walk in worry. Let me carry that for you. Cast it onto the Lord. Listen to this promise here in Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Listen to what that's saying. If you'll set your thoughts and your mind on the Lord, like David did, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. If you'll set your mind on the Lord, if you'll look to God rather than to your problem, What does it say? God will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Do you want peace that surpasses understanding? The Bible says in Philippians 4, peace that guards your heart and your mind. Peace, the peace of God that will guard your thoughts from running wild. Guard your emotions from running wild. Do you want to overcome anxiety with the peace of God? It says this, keep your mind stayed on the Lord. See, the problem is not that you think too much. It's that it's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about your problem rather than thinking about God. You're trying to carry that rather than casting it on the Lord. So do you see what I'm saying? The Lord wants to bring you into perfect peace. The Lord wants to give you peace. This is the gift He wants to give you. This is the promise of peace from the Lord for us. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pass out the candles here. Everybody's going to get a candle. So kids, we're going to do this here in just a minute. Everybody's going to get a candle. And as we kind of go through this final time, we're going to put our eyes on Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. We're going to put our eyes on Jesus. We're going to take our eyes off of what's going on around us and put our eyes on Jesus. We're going to get our minds on the Lord. And I believe as we turn our hearts to the Lord and as we worship the Lord, the Bible says He inhabits the praise of His people. He's going to fill you with His presence. He's going to fill you with His peace, His joy, His hope, His love. Come on up, Michelle. And Stephen, we need a couple candles up here, if you don't mind. And this is what we've been talking about. Somebody tell me, who's the light of the world? Yeah, see, I hear the kids know. Who's the light of the world? Jesus is the light of the world. He's the gift of God. He's the hope that we need. And that's what this candle represents here in the middle. That Jesus is the light of the world. He's what you need. He's what you've been longing for. He wants to come and live in your heart, fill you up, and give you what you need.